I'm going to preach on what's called justice. Justice or fairness. One of the Christian virtues. What is a virtue? There are two things in this world, in every society. One is virtues and the other is vices. That is the opposite of it. A virtue is something that we value, which makes the society sustain itself. It's a sort of settled habits, the way you behave, the way you think, the way we accept each other. And it becomes an accepted behavior. If it is not accepted by others, it is a vice. There is a village between Kurudwadi and Dhaund. I don't know the exact place. A few years ago, we used to have almost every week, we had reports of these people raiding trains. So nowadays it is stopped because the people, from down onwards, at night, police, RPF enter the train and they will be searching them. So their virtue is theft. Stop the train, run away and get into the train with guns and all that and run away with the people's belongings. For them, it's a great thing, but not for us. See, it is not for us. It is not an accepted behavior from the society. So every society, right, stands or falls depending on what virtues it holds, you know, or vices it holds. Now, when it comes to church, the church, if you look at the wider picture, is not very encouraging. In the wider church, if you look at the established churches as such, I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm not talking about the kingdom of God. There is a lot of corruption out there. Why? Because they cherish virtues or bad virtues or vices. Today we're just going to talk about justice. Justice is also known as fairness. You can preach sermons after sermons on this topic, but I limit myself to just 2 points today because of lack of time. Justice also means fairness, being fair in our dealings with each other. And you can have social justice when justice is exhibited or practiced in the society. Before that, let me just ask you a question. Suppose you are cutting cake, sharing a piece of cake with your friend. And maybe your friend or you cut the cake, or a third party cut the cake. But whichever way it is, finally, your friend, the other friend, got the bigger piece and you got a small piece. How will you feel? Normally, you're cutting cake. That's a very your favorite cake. And when you do that, the other person got a big piece and you got a small piece. How will you feel? Angry? Hungry? That is after eating it. Yes. When you see it, when you see that, what will happen? Jealousy? Maybe. Or otherwise? Angry? Upset? Right? Because he got the big piece and you got the small piece. Right? Okay. What if it was the other way around? What will be the other way around? You got the big piece and the other guy got small piece. What will be your feeling? Embarrassment? What will be your feeling? You feel happy. Nigerians are more honest than Indians, definitely. How will you feel? How will you feel in Botswana? Very upset. No, our Botswanians will be fine. Normally, we'll be okay. No, because as long as we got the better deal, nobody normally worry about the other person, what deal other person got. Am I right? Yes. That is, suppose every day it happens. Every time you cut the cake when I cut my birthday cake with him, and when I cut, I take the big piece and give him a tiny piece. When that happens and I really delight in that, that when I cut, I can make the cut in such a way that I get 3/4 of it and he get only a tiny piece of it. When I delight in that, that is very unfair, isn't it? It is not just. That is not justice. But when a society have a value, when it says, I don't care, he got a big piece, I got a small piece. When a person grows to that sort of a moral basis or moral understanding of what is right and what is desirable in his world, that is what we call a fair, the fairness, the virtue of justice or fairness. Many times, that doesn't happen in our lives. We don't even bother about such things. But godliness has to do with that. Godliness has to do with such things. So the first part of justice, the virtue of justice, is to be fair in our dealings. Fair in our dealings. Now many times, one of the things that upsets me is that there are Christian leaders, forget about the secular leaders, we don't want to worry about them. There are Christian organizations, Christian places, where they make sure that they get the best deal. Many of the Christian trusts, they raise public money. Now you give 5 rupees, I give 10 rupees. But ultimately, they buy immovable and movable property in the name of the trust members. But the trust president will be husband and the secretary and treasurer will be the wife. So you contribute public money and it becomes a private asset. That is not fair. That is not fair. When you think of something, if I am the choir leader here, the music director, I make sure that my wife sings, nobody else. That is not fair. It's not from God. But there are places where the husband preaches and the wife sings. Though husband doesn't know how to preach and wife doesn't know how to sing. Because it's a self-centered place. When we started a trust, this church also has another side to it, that is a trust, a charitable trust. When we started this trust, we made it a point that nobody, no two people from the same family will be members of our trust. It will never be. I keep on saying that the moment it happens, when two members are from the same family, the trust will liquidate itself. It has no reason to exist. It should be from different people, different families, and it's not only men, there should be women as well in our trust. We keep the number very, very, we'll have some elections coming. What does Bible say? There is partiality, there is selfishness, there is greed, and all sort of things which makes us very unfair. In turn, ungodly. The word of God is very clear. When it talks about godliness, the covenant relationship with God, we read in Leviticus 19:15, you shall not do no justice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or differ to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. There's a lot to unpack in that verse. Never, when we take decisions, make sure, not only poverty, not only greatness, make sure that our decisions are impartial. There is no poor and there is no great. When we show compassion to people, when we love people, poverty and greatness should not enter the mind of a man of or a woman of God. His love is beyond such considerations. Thou shalt not do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or differ to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. That is impartiality in our dealings. Now, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1 says, masters, treat your servants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. What a wonderful, noble thing. Treat your slaves justly and fairly. You can read slaves in our modern context, in our contemporary situation. You can read this as your staff, as your team members. Treat team leader, team leaders. Let me paraphrase it for you. Team leaders, treat your team members justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in the first floor. No, not because of that. You have a supervisor, senior manager. No, not because of your MD, not because of your CEO, but because you also have a master in heaven. That is the master that we are really, really accounted to. We are accountable to that master. Treating the team members. I know a person. He works in a corporate place. He had a sort of misunderstanding with his team members. And he was right in what he did. But the members of the team did not take it very rightly, because they were hurt in that. Basically, their ego was hurt. Now, this manager or team leader, you can call him, knew that some of his members are hurt. So what he did was to call a meeting. As a Christian, he called the meeting and he said, look, I had to do this because this is what we believe here. This is what our policy is. But I know that many of you are hurt by my decisions. And he did not accuse them. He did not judge them. But later, these team members who had been working, this guy was new there in his office, but others have been there for a long, long time. He just happened to be his leader. And they said, never in our life, in this service, in this organization, no one has come to us at this way to say and explain to us, and also asking forgiveness in case his decision, though it was right, has hurt them. That is what fairness is. Now think of that. Think of that. In our corporate places, in our office floors, we can be people who are fair, impartial, but still standing for the truth. But let me tell you the other side. If you are right and pleasing, but displeasing God, that is not fair. Fairness is to be fair with God and with fellow beings. Otherwise, it is not fair at all. Now, there are a lot of people who are nice buddies all around. They're very nice. I had a boss, and he used to say, when I was working in secular places, he used to say, when people come and say, sir, I want to go a little early, maybe at 4 o'clock, 4:30, maybe half an hour early. So he said, don't tell me, you go. But never say, if the vigilance squad comes and catches you, I am not responsible. So if you want to go, you go. You want to go at 12 o'clock, you go. But he was playing very, very nicely. So he let people go. Because when the vigilance comes, now to check attendance and all that in the government office, he'll be clean. But he's not fair, is he? He's not fair. He's trying to play it safe. He says, you can violate the rules, but I would like to be safe. That is not fair. Fairness is being fair with God, what you know from the Bible, at the same time, fair with other people as well. Can we do that? Yes, we can. We can very well do that. Now, coming back to the cake story. If you want the decent piece of cake, what we should do? See, fairness is, you want a fair deal. I don't want to be cutting cake with this guy every year and my piece becomes smaller and smaller and smaller and finally I don't get anything. Isn't it? If I don't check him, if I don't point it out and tell him, yes, look, you took the big piece, we bought a 1 kilo cake, you ate 600 grams, I only got 400 grams. If I don't check him now, next year I will get only 300 grams and he will walk away with 700 grams. And next year he may eat 800 and I may get 200. And the following year he may eat 900, I may get 100. And the year after, if I happen to live, he may take the whole cake. Should we not stop him? What do you think? Should he? Should not? Should. Yeah. But there's another way of doing it. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:12. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, see, both of us have birthdays, not only me. For his birthday, give him exactly 500 grams of the 1 kg cake or even little more. So that next birthday, you will get your fair deal. That's what it means there. Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. The entire Bible, he says, is summarized in this. You want a fair deal? Be fair in all your deeds. Then only you have any hope of a fair deal. Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful formula? Yeah, that's a very simple formula. Be fair so that others will be fair. Be decent, others will be. Now, in many places, if you are a team leader or if you have in any supervisory position, whether it is in the church, whether it is in the office, whether it is in the home, as the head of the family, make sure our dealings are fair. Then only we will have fairness going around. Many places it is not. Husbands are not fair to their wives. May love. Love and fairness is different. Two different things. The other way as well. They may not be fair to the children. And the children will never be learn fairness unless we teach them by our actions through practice. I want to move on to the next aspect of it. The second is not only fairness, justice also means truthfulness. Truthfulness. Now, many times I have been observing people and myself, God judges my own behavior as well. So that is the greatest resource of learning from God. When God judges you, rebukes you, and say, when God catches you, what is truth? Truth is not what you make others believe. I know a person. So I asked him, did you use this software for your study? He immediately said yes. Actually, his wife answered. His wife is not a very educated person. But they were both walking, so I just stopped them and I just inquired, did you use this software? So she answered, yes. She doesn't know. She doesn't even know Microsoft Word, whether it exists or not. This was an advanced statistical package I was asking about. So was it true or not? It was a lie. He also said, yes, it was a lie. This was 10 years ago I asked this question. Now in the 10 years, if you ask the same question, he hasn't done it. He doesn't know what it is. But what he did is, he knew what the answer I expected from him. So he was not telling me the truth. He was giving me the expected answer. That is what untruth is. Many times we lie. We ask children. Now, we used to ask our children, did you have your VPAC? My God, they are all grown up and married. I will be accountable. Anyway, VPAC, Sheila packs their lunch boxes or what do you call the break, the snack for the break. The first question she asks is, did you eat your snacks? Yes. Because that's an expected answer. It may not be true. And then 3 days later or the following morning, she digs into her bag and the lunch is still there. Do they haven't eaten it? But the expected answer, we give expected answer and get away from it. We get away from our responsibility because we're giving the expected answers which need not necessarily be true. Sometimes our own thinking. We just believe, I have this problem. I think that I'm the greatest, smartest guy in this world. But you know, many of you don't agree, do you? I know, you are very polite to your pastor. See, I believe I am the most handsome man in this room. Is there something wrong with it? It's not reality. But we imagine things. I am the most prayerful person. I am the most powerful person. I am the most charming person. I am very intelligent. We make ourselves believe lies about ourselves also. And we get away with it. Truth has to do with reality. Somebody comes and tells me nasty things about Feliciano. And it may be all lies. I may just believe it, because it's easy to believe other people's report. But truth is, truth needs commitment. I need to really find out whether he's doing that or not. But untruth is, falsehood is when people just believe everything, anything. Usually the first report they get, they are not willing to go beyond. This is why there are prejudices. Now, some people have prejudices against other races, other colors, other societies. Some churches don't want anybody other than people of their language and people of their skin, people who have the same food habits. They just keep them out. And I don't know what they will do when they go to eternity. There will be, I think, all of the majority will get together and get them out of the church, out of heaven. Because that's the logic they use, isn't it? That's the logic they used while they were on earth. They excluded everybody who are different from them. But in heaven, I think the majority will exclude them. How can you get along with people of different color and taste and habits and culture in heaven if you cannot do it here? Because we have prejudices, misconceptions. Now, what does the Bible say? When we come to truthfulness, you know, there are various things that we do. First of all, we lie about ourselves. And the Bible calls it hypocrisy. I have preached many times on that word, what does that word mean and all that. And today we don't have time to explain it. Peter writes in 1 Peter 2:1, he writes, put away all malice and deceit and hypocrisy and all envy and all slander. Now, I just would like to look at that one word, hypocrisy. The lies that we say about ourselves, is get out of it. Be truthful. Be truthful. Many times, another type of lie comes into our life or settles in our life. That is slandering about others. Word of God says in Leviticus 19:16, you shall not go around as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. Do not slander about other people. That is, do not lie about other people. If you don't know, hold your conclusions. Suspend your conclusions. Another sickness that is prevalent in various believing communities is misleading others. Mislead others. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 25 says, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We mislead each other. Many times that is also found among us. Just like one body, one part of the body misleads other. I recently changed my glasses and I'm struggling with this now. Because my eye is misleading me. Because when I look at certain things, it looks much closer than it really is. And when I use the other focal, I have bifocals. And when I use the other lens, it looks as if it is closer than it ought to be. Or bigger than it ought to be. It really is. It's very difficult. When the eye, actually the specs, the glasses are misleading my eyes. And because of that, it misleads my steps. I tend to fall. I tend to misjudge what is on the screen. Why? Because one member of the church is misleading another member of the church through the lies. That is not fair. That is not justice. Now, last and the most important thing, integrity. What we say and what we do, what we say and what we believe, all are one. If they are different, they are disintegrated, but all one. Jesus said a very, very profound statement in Matthew chapter 5:37. You all have read that. You all know it. Maybe you know it by heart. Let what you say simply be yes or no. Nothing more than this comes from evil. Now the context is, if you look at 5:36, Jesus said, do not swear. That is, you say something. I saw this happening. I swear by heaven. And in some cultures in India, we say, some children say, I swear by my father. I swear by my head. You know, we make that sort of thing. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make a one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. If you ask me something and I told you yes, or if I told you no, if I need further explanations, that is not from God, that is not true. See, I say, ask me something and I say yes. Then if I add an explanation, I have to add an explanation to what I said. That is from evil one. We have to live our lives in such a way that when we say yes, people know it is yes. If you know, if you say no, that is a no. Truth doesn't need any legs to stand on. Truth will stand on its own legs. But lies are like centipedes. They need 100 legs to stand on. You keep changing the legs because the lies are very, very unstable. Lies need many legs to stand on. Truth need no legs at all. It can stand on its own. When people add explanations, I know pretty very well, in the light of the Bible, they are lying about something. But they are not sure about it themselves. They try to substantiate it. They provide warrant for it. But that is not truthfulness. We need to examine ourselves. How just am I? When it comes to fairness, when it comes to truthfulness, I can go on adding many things here. But in all this, we have a great example. And that example is the example of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2:22. We can't make ourselves fair. We can't make ourselves truthful. We can't make ourselves to fulfill our own promises. But we can do one thing. We have a sum that is worked out for us. The great teacher has solved these mysteries and say, simply repeat after me. Do what I did. The way I have dealt with it. This, can we go to 22 and 23? This is about Jesus Christ. He says, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Praise God. That's a wonderful example of Jesus Christ. Did Jesus lie? Never. Did Jesus was unfair with others? No. He loved to be on the loser end. When it came to accept his death on the cross, except in temptations, he was a victor. But on all other things, if somebody took anything from him, he said, go away with it. That's what he taught. Now, if somebody asks you for your cloak, give it away. Give to anyone who asks of you, begs from you. That was Jesus. Who are we now? And there's a big gap, isn't it? And that gap is what we are called to fill. There's a big gap between the ideal in the model of Jesus, the model that Jesus has provided us, and what we are now. And our challenge is to fill that gap, to bridge that gap by the grace that is apportioned to us. We'll not be able to do that by our own strength. But we will be able to do that by his grace. That is what we mean when we trust in him. We trust him to be a godly, to lead a godly life. Will you stand with me as I offer a word of prayer for all of us?